Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 234.
Hello, hello, this is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we ever so cautiously, ever so hesitantly, and ever so guardedly decide to almost, maybe, celebrate something, maybe? I am your host, Nikki Farsad, and it's 2021, motherfuckers! In fact, it's Wednesday, January 6th, early afternoon as we tape this, and, we may have, maybe, possibly, quite conceivably, won control of the thing that rhymes with tenet. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about one of Donnie's final greatest hits, an exceedingly stupid phone call he made. And finally, what are you obliged to tell your employers? We're going to get into it. I am so excited by this very first panel of 2021. Oh, this panel was designed for today. Joining us for the very first time, and definitely not the last, because I already know and love this guy. I've seen him do stand-up. I've seen him murder in front of the socially distant spread out masses in an outdoor show. I have also been so lucky to be on his podcast. It's called The Asian Not Asian Podcast, which is super delightful. I also follow him on all the socials because he's fun. You guys, it's Mike Wynn. Hey, Mike.
Hey, hey, hey. What's good? I don't know. Is this the kind of podcast where we hype each other up constantly?
What's no, absolutely. Good, folks? Yeah. No, my hype men are about to arrive. So when happens, you'll know. Also, we're doing late 90s today with Mike Wynn in our hype settings. Folks, I'm so excited by the second member of the panel because she has been on the show before many, many times. We love her very much. She is just an excellent comedian. She's also newly the host of the podcast, The War Report, which you should be immediately subscribing to. Folks, it's Shalewa Sharp. Hey, Shalewa.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing good. I mean, I don't want to speak for Mike, but I heard before the show, he controversially said that he was having the best morning.
Having a great morning.
Yeah.
Having a great morning. I mean, I don't know. You guys are comedians. So, you know, when something like for me, I define I'm having a good day because like one of my tweets got like 20 retweets. That's like a good day. I'm like, oh my God, yes, thank you so much. And like, I don't even talk to my wife for the rest of the day because I'm just just riding a wave at that point, you know? So that's what's okay. good for me. I keep hearing that today is a good day for other reasons, but that's my good reason.
Yeah, you're on this show maybe for one of those reasons.
Yes, exactly.
So, okay, well, let's get into it with topic number one. Folks, I wasn't even going to talk about this thing yes. in Georgia. I was actually nervous to talk about it. I assumed we were not going to have any kind of result for several days. So Shalewa and Mike can attest it wasn't even in the original email about mm-hmm. the show. But here we are. The Georgia runoff races ended Tuesday. The votes have mostly been tallied. Reverend Raphael Warnock is the projected winner in the race against Kelly Loeffler. She has wow. yet to concede. As of this taping, which, along with the reemergence of hot goth and diaphanous ruffling, is a trend this season. The race between David Perdue and John Ossoff is also leaning towards Ossoff. I saw a really fun billboard for Ossoff that was running up to the thing, which was "Vote Your Ossoff," which I thought was really fun, and he would have won my vote just because of that poster. But I heard from Nate Cohen of the New York Times today. He used the words "Perdue has no path," so I feel, and a lot of people are big, and Ossoff actually made a victory speech this morning.
Wow.
So this thing that we may have hoped for is maybe mm-hmm. possibly happening. Shalewa has a face on. Shalewa, explain your face.
Okay, so my face is because I grew up in Atlanta.
Right, uh-oh. Yes.
And so I'm fairly well schooled in how Atlanta as a city works.
Mm-hmm.
To me, John Ossoff making a celebratory speech this morning, releasing a video of like, yeah, we did it, is troublesome
okay.
because he doesn't know the history of Atlanta when it comes to coming through in big ways when the country is watching. Now, it looks like we're going to pull it out because the counts that still need to be, or the votes that still need to be counted, are coming from the greater Atlanta area, in mm-hmm. particular DeKalb County, which is like the bluest county.
Okay.
And it's the county I grew up in.
Hey.
So I'm pretty sure it's going to break Ossoff's way as they keep counting. In fact, the numbers, the increase in votes that I saw this afternoon versus this morning definitely skewed Ossoff. So that's great. But, I mean, look here. Like, if we're just going by, like, sporting teams,
uh-huh.
which is all we really have to go by.
Right.
Like, hey, man, don't
yeah.
count those chickens, man. Why did you make a video?
Right.
Like, counting chickens.
Yeah. Like, come on. We were down. We were up, what, 29-3? In the Super Bowl?
What are those numbers? I don't know anything about the numbers you're
referencing. All I'm saying is that we lost.
I thought
we lost like a 29-point lead. In the fourth quarter. I get that you really want to represent us, but if you want to represent Atlanta, you need to just chill for just a hot second. Just mm-hmm. a hot second until you have that definite 50.6.
Yes. Yes.
Percent.
Also,
otherwise,
I also want to just say from on behalf of my Jewish friends, mm-hmm. and John Ossoff would be the first Jewish senator and the youngest senator, right, mm-hmm. out of Georgia. And I feel like it is very against Jewish culture. And again, I'm a Muslim. What the fuck do I know about Jewish culture? But just from like living in New York City, right? You're sort of like,
right.
you get some Judaism in you, like just through
Absolutely.
Osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
That it is very weird that he gave the victory speech this morning.
Exactly.
Like,
Jews
do not count chickens before
no.
they
ask. What are
they
you
just
doing?
You should be very nervous. Yes, exactly.
You until they say, you got it, kid,
yeah.
don't say
no
anything.
No
Let
way.
Them keep counting because things can break in
do
odd ways at any time.
Do they specifically have to say, you got it, kid, in that?
Yeah, I think that's
you
what
do
they
have to
use.
You have to say, you got it, kid, and you hit them with the gobble guns. Pa-pow, you know?
I think in Atlanta, actually, is you won, shawty. won.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they do. Someone rolls by, they say, "You won, Shawty," and then you make your video.
That's actually how they do the Electoral College too down there. It says, you got it, Shawty, and then congratulations. Yeah, then that's great.
Well, I mean, and that's why I have you guys on. You're both election experts. Shalewa has a PhD in voting, isn't that right?
Something
you did on the side.
Yes, all of it.
I mean, I misplaced the paperwork, but I'm sure that's what it's on.
So I have a question for you, which is, why would Warnock and Ossoff have different results? You know, you'd think all these people turned
that's easy.
Out.
Hmm. That's easy because Warnock was against a woman and John Ossoff is against a white dude.
And white dudes are still...
A white dude that, not everybody in Georgia had a problem with. And
right.
I dare say people were kind of fine with him.
Right.
We had a history with this Purdue fella.
Only one term, but still a history, nevertheless.
A six-year history, yeah. And his cousin was Sonny Purdue, who was a governor?
Also, he was rich.
Yeah, yeah.
He was viewed as like a millionaire from his own, you know, because of his own smarts, which
not so much that. He's a good old white boy from the South. So even if we didn't know him, we know him.
So that
takes over this young whippersnapper who's
won. Do you have any theories on why of this split ticket voting?
No, I don't know. I've been following, but I haven't been following because I have high blood pressure and I just don't want to get, do you know what I'm saying?
This
conversation we're having,
could
also could sway the vote the other way. You know, like I have this whole thing.
Yes.
I went to Berkeley and I had a thing where I would never
brag.
I know. I don't, because I have no idea what we've been talking about this whole time. When Chile was talking about the 29-3 thing, I thought that was still electoral votes. I had no idea she was talking about the NFL. And so, you know, this whole thing has just made me nervous, and I totally feel you as far as don't count things until it happens, because I just keep feeling that, you know, 2020 is a few days ago, but it could still do the thing in the horror movie where it's like the last jump scare.
Yeah.
You think you killed the monster, but no, he like reaches up and grabs your leg at the very last second and pulls you to hell.
True.
I just don't know. Anything's crazy. Winning is losing. Losing is winning. You don't have to concede anymore. Democracy is communism. I don't know what's happening. So I'm in the boat as far as like I don't want to say that, you know, one person
or
another.
Well, I
want to
say about Warnock is that he had a really, I think, inspiring candidacy. You know, he kind of came from nothing and became this reverend and was at the same church as Martin Luther King. And, you know, he's got a really great story. So I think it was an easy vote to cast. And I think Kelly Loeffler, look, we historically hate women, so that's pretty easy to see. And we don't talk about like Republican women, but they are hated as much as Democratic women, right? Like Hillary Clinton wasn't the only woman that was hated. But I think Kelly Loeffler, you know, on top of like having, you know, the negative points, the vaginal negative points, also had, she wasn't a great debate performer. She didn't have like an agenda. She really was fixated on calling Raphael Warnock a radical socialist. And so like nobody really knew what she was about, and she was appointed. It's not like she was in the Senate because of her own, you know, because she had won over voters before. So she had a lot kind of going against her.
No one knew her. And that's very important. I mean, it's, you know, it's still small town politics, even though it's a whole state.
I heard that half of Georgia lives in Metro Atlanta.
Metro Atlanta is basically like the top third of the state at this point. I believe it's including Chattanooga, Tennessee, maybe. But so no one really knew her. She certainly didn't win any when anyone with this whole like weird Southern drag thing
oh,
that she
my
did,
God. Yes,
where
yes.
she put on like a hunting vest right. and bootcut jeans, and she's like, "I'm one of you," and we're like,
"I feel
no.
that she wore her regular clothes underneath it still."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
right? And as soon as she got into the van to leave the press junket, she would just like slough it off like mm-hmm. a snake, you know. So I mean, it's just I could see exactly what you guys are talking about with that.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the thing that'll terrify us the most, which is that if we did have control of the thing that rhymes with tenet.
Yes, mm-hmm. let's not say it. Okay, perfect.
Let's say it. I'm so scared. So some of the first things that they're going to do, theoretically, is this will immediately affect the size of the next COVID relief package, right? They want to have a next COVID relief package. The $2,000 check that Donnie talked about that you know, ruined the whole thing with the during the holidays. I don't know if anybody right. was even paying attention right. to the news. I yes. hope you were not. But we almost like lost a relief package because of Donnie. Yes. But then anyways, we didn't. It doesn't matter. He called for a $2,000 check. We ended up with $600 checks. But he kind of knew it was going to get vetoed. Doesn't matter. Okay, so but that $2,000 check is actually something that Democrats do want to provide for people. And then here's the other big thing they want to provide, which I think a lot of people who live in cities and states, which is everyone, is relief, local, state, and local relief. I mean, they're like every mass transit system in America is in threat of being shut down because of revenue loss. Teachers are being fired. We're losing fire departments. We're losing police. We're losing so many things because there is no state and local relief because Mitch McConnell doesn't know that people live in states. that's a big one. What are some of the things that you think might be coming down the pike in this situation?
I mean, I live in the anarchist state of New York City, as many of us do. And I mean, the subway is basically run by rats at this point.
Oh,
so we need to get those rats.
They're actually doing a decent job.
They're doing a great job, and they need
places.
Relief too. Rats also need healthcare. Okay, they have big families. So I mean, I think that's one of the big things is throughout this whole thing. People have, we've been talking a lot about, individuals getting checks and relief, and that's really important. And I think we've been talking about at the higher level COVID and making sure that we, get this this vaccine out there. But just like at the in-between level, at the state level, at the city level, right? And obviously New York City, we are the state of New York, I mean, there's like two people who live underneath a waterfall somewhere upstate, and then everybody else lives down here.
True.
And, the city needs...
We say that with love.
With love. I wish I had that waterfall. And it's cities like this, cities all across the country. You're seeing, the COVID spikes all over the place. All of those different little municipalities are going to need this, not just for the COVID, but for moving forward. That's how we're going to recover out of something like this.
Another thing that we could see sort of swiftly is how Joe Biden could get his cabinet nominees approved. So with Mitch McConnell in control, that would have been an uphill hurdle. He would have continually had to put, people that were maybe even more moderate or even, more right of center. And Joe Biden is not like, a hardcore progressive, although he did run like the most progressive presidential campaign in history. Right. But are there some dream things that you might have in mind, Shalewa, that like a democratically held schmenet could do?
Okay. I want him to go ahead and just sail through whoever is not extremely questionable onto old boy's cabinet, right? I want him to just go ahead and do that. That'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably what will happen because for the most part, that's usually what happened. Unless the person was the hottest mess, they usually went ahead and got the positions. And then we got Trump, And even the hottest messes got the position. So I feel like this, like maybe people will want to dig, but at some point it's going to be like, oh, you literally worked here before. Okay, well then you know where the break room is, and they're going to let it go through. What I kind of want is a little more Department of Justice-y. In that because there's a lot of talk right now as to whether or not we prosecute Trump for the various things, so many things. And some people are saying, hey, man, let it go. It's Chinatown. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, just forget about it. We need to move forward. And I do think that we need to come together and move forward and really fix this. Or, you know, really work on this rift, the many rifts in our country. But I also want a team of nerds in a basement.
Not a glasses. Team of rivals,
making
a team
the
of
cases,
nerds.
Briefcases.
Yeah,
yes.
Making the cases, the various cases against
suspenders.
Trump.
Absolutely.
And I want them working
well,
hard.
We're going to get into that. Don't get into that because we're going to get into that in the next segment. But, I want, now, there's a bunch of shit I want. I want statehood for Puerto Rico and DC. I've been talking about that shit for some years. I want a public option. You know, I want universal health care, but I also want a public.
Yes, absolutely.
Just so everyone knows, I mean, look, we're only doing optimism, as people who listen to the show know. I don't believe that, you know, some of these kind of larger things, we're going to achieve them because people like Joe Manchin are also Democrats and they're not going to vote for them. But there are, I think there are places like where pragmatic and slightly progressive things can happen that are really exciting. For example, an increase in the minimum wage would be super fun. It's currently $7.25 where you can exist nowhere in the union on that amount as a full-time employee. Obviously Democrat Biden's, you know, goal is $15. And look, maybe we can't get $15, but would it be great to get $13 or $11? I mean, anything higher than $7.25 would be amazing. So right. I think there's some pragmatic kind of things that can, I think, sail through with a 50-seat majority with Kamala Harris tying, breaking the tie, which would be, you know, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. I want a PlayStation 5.
For all Americans?
Yeah. No, but mainly I want C-SPAN to be boring again, you know, to what Shelley was saying. Like, you know, I want competent government. I just want to get in there too and sort of my big soft spot is, I went to Berkeley. I don't know if I told you. Department of Education,
that's so
I think, would, you know. Betsy DeVos just like burned the building to the ground. And I would like to see that building not on fire. So that's just something I'm not exactly sure about what policy there is. But, you know, I feel there could be headway there that we could really do along with the PlayStation 5. So
PlayStation 5 is for everyone in America. I think that's an excellent call. In the meantime, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break. And I would like for people of Fake the Nation to tell me, what do you want to see happen with a possible shmushmority in the shmenet? You can do that on all of the social medias that I also encourage you not to use. Okay. There we go. So we're going to take a quick break and hear about our sponsors. They keep the lights on here at Fake the Nation. And in this new year, I especially thank them for that. And when we come back, we'll talk about other things.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's auraframes.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that, but we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness. For like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing, you don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind, dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, Prose prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level if you think about it. Just it makes common sense. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at prose.com/fakethenation will be taken off. That's prose.com/fakethenation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's prose.com/fakethenation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So prose.com/fakethenation. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good
all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back and we're ready for topic number two. So Minority President Donnie Twimp, who was impeached and also under multiple criminal investigations, has 2 weeks left in office. We still have a chance to get that pivot to being presidential. You guys remember the pivot that everybody waited for? We waited for months. People kept talking about that pivot. Anyways, we've got 2 weeks. Let's see if he can pivot to being presidential. But in these waning days of his loserdom, he called Mark Raffensperger, who, as we all now know, is the Secretary of State of Georgia. By the way, I've never known the Secretary of State of Georgia's name in my life. Mm-hmm. And I say it now every day. And he basically asked Mark Raffensperger, my buddy Mark, to find him 11,000 something something votes.
11,780 votes, which 11. Would take it one over, because I think the number 11,779
is what the Democrats won by.
It's now just branded into Trump's brain.
Yeah,
I think, and I think that From now on, everywhere he goes, he should see the number 11779.
It's
everywhere.
Sort of, it's like, you know, in did you guys ever watch Lost and how there was that number?
That magic number?
That number. Like, it's funny because I don't remember the number now, but for like 2 years, I was like, is that that number? Like, I would see a number and I'd be like, is that that number? So anyways, Donnie, you should totally get the DVD box set of Lost and do that in your post-presidential time. So we're going to hear a clip actually from that phone call.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
This is Ryan, Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
I didn't know where to end this clip, but I want to say that I really love that pause. Like, after Mark Raffensperger said, the problem is your data is wrong. And then there's this like 45-minute pause where where Trump decides whether or not he's going to admit that he heard him say that. And then he just barrels through and did not admit any, like, it's like as if he didn't speak. So today they're certifying results, right, in the Senate, probably as we speak. I don't know exactly what time they're doing that. And obviously, you know, this call was not going to change anything. But still, what do you think of this call being made by a sitting president?
I mean, it's wild, I guess, if we're going to compare it to other sitting presidents. But wait, yes. Is it though? Because yeah. I feel like, wait, hasn't this happened before? I think the thing about Trump is that he's not doing necessarily original things.
Yes.
He's just kind of saying, I want this, and so I'm just not going to. So he's barreling through in a bully way by, like, omission. He's just, I refuse to do that. I'm just going to do what I want. So he's not changing the game so much as he's threatening to take his ball and go home. And and now everyone's like, yeah, we just bought a new ball. And so, you know, it's kind of wild that he did it, but it's also not wild because I believe I'm sure this is not the first time that someone has been like, hey, man, can't you, I'm sure you can, like, just move a couple of things around for us. And what's been very funny to me is that Georgia put into place so much suppression so that Brian Kemp could win in 2018. And so certainly, you know, Trump's like, oh, okay, you got me. And then when it didn't work because people just went out and voted, Trump was like, well, wait, you did this for you. Why can't you do this for me? That's been the whole vibe that I'm hearing it through. I'm hearing it through a lens of just like, hey, y'all just did this. You just fixed it so that Kemp could be governor and you're Secretary of State. I'm the president. Right. Why aren't you doing this for me? I'm way more important than you and your little 100%. State. So, yeah. And so I'm not necessarily calling the Secretary of State a hero because I guarantee once all of this smoke is gone, they're going to go back to trying to disenfranchise voters.
Sure. Yes.
But I do find it very funny that they didn't bring enough voter fraud for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, not that Mark Raffensperger is a hero, but that, you know, he is, look, he's a public servant. He's in a party that I'm not in. I don't agree with his views, but he did do the job. And he did it under incredible national and international scrutiny. Mm-hmm. He suffered through multiple death threats and constant, you know, to the point where they had to get him security. It's been a danger for his family. And yet he has persisted in holding the line. And in that sense, I think lesser people would have folded. And so I do think, even though, yeah, he probably thinks that we should have signature match and we should have voter IDs and we should have all sorts of things that I absolutely don't agree with. But in terms of just doing his job and following the law and holding the line and doing it under incredible pressure.
That's not enough for me. Yeah. Only because Brian Kemp ran for governor while he was Secretary of State. And I understand.
As someone who's gotten like just a fraction of the death threats that he's gotten, it's not fun. You know what I mean? It's not fun.
None of that is fun.
And it's not right. You know,
it's not right. But he is doing his job, which is sad that that's what we should be like. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's to me, that's wild because he still helped the previous Secretary of State. That was so mind blowing that even if the only thing that's different here is that we all have the same enemy, which is Trump.
Yeah.
That's different to me is that, we all don't like this guy.
Okay. So Mike, so this was clearly a criminal act, right? To call someone to find votes from a sitting president. You don't find votes, you count votes. Okay. So Mike, do you think he should face any kind of consequence?
Well, I mean, first I just wanted to just quickly point out that on this phone call, I mean, he had the same vibe as my dad finding an expired coupon and saying, hey, you know what? 2 weeks ago, you accepted this coupon because Uncle Hien took it. But then, you know, can you take this coupon again? And the guy's like, no, I'm sorry. We only do that for, you know, new customers. And he's just kind of like pushing it through. He doesn't even believe in his lies anymore. I feel like it's weird because, you know, people have been kind of floating around like this other second, you know, should we impeach him again?
Right.
I have no idea how this works. I thought maybe he had some sort of special impeachment proof double jeopardy, like some sort of Lifetime movie where now he can't be impeached again and and now he's going to go to town. I just feel like, you know, Shalewa was mentioning this before about whether or not we should go after him for all of these different things. There's a huge Rolodex of different things that we could go after.
Yeah, do you believe in Shalewa's room full of nerds?
I do believe in the one room full of nerds. I also believe in maybe, you know, I think it might set a bad precedent for us to go after former presidents. But we should have one as a treat. One. Let's pick one. But like,
cheat day. You know, it could be just a small cheat day.
What? Yeah, exactly. No, like low carb, but one day where we go crazy and we eat the Trump cake, you know? So like, and it's just like it's a small, just pick one of his small ones, but really hit him hard. Like, oh, this parking ticket from 1987. Holy crap. Get him, you know? And then after that, all right. Because that's the thing. Trump hates to lose. And that's, for me, I just want to see him lose, you know, anything, you know, PlayStation, whatever. I just want one loss for him. And that, I think, would be enough to send him.
Yeah, I think it's been like a gentleman's agreement to not go after former presidents, right?
Yeah, yep.
But he's no gentleman, and we've never had a president do the stuff that he did. I want to tighten up those agreements, by the way. I want them, like, written down because he's broken so many things and
there's so many
like,
norms he's
yeah
broken.
Where it's just like, oh, I guess you can do that,
yeah,
but you can't, but we were just kind of running on a handshake.
Well, I think a fun, one of those fun things that could, I think, pass through, could be legislated on with a narrow majority in a possible Schmidt situation is a norm. Like, you have to release your tax, you have to release your taxes if you're going to run for president. Like, that's just part of the law now. You have to do that. There's no getting around it. So those are some, and because I think that would be tough for a Republican to vote against, right?
Right.
And so, like, just putting some of those norms into law, I think, is something that also, I'm sure, Biden has a binder of those norms, right? That have
right,
been broken.
Yeah, tighten it up binder.
Tighten it up, yeah. like, these worked okay in open mics, but let's be real. And, but I think here's what I think. I get your treat metaphor, Mike, or simile or analogy, whatever one of those that thing is. But I also think the problem I have just ideologically, no, not ideologically, just like as an American who lives under a constitution, the constitution, is that these things are illegal. You're not supposed to try and steal an election, even though your attempt at stealing, is failed. It doesn't mean you didn't try and steal. You still have to pay the consequences for that. We don't let people go because they had a bank heist they couldn't pull off, right? Like, not pulling it off doesn't mean you get off scot-free. That's not how it works. That's not how criminality works, right? That's not how justice works. And I think that if crimes aren't punished, they'll happen again. So if the fabric of the political system gets ever so weakened and we have a really smart fucking dictator type in office and a control of the House and control of the Senate, then we're really fucked. But if we've got punishment that deters that kind of criminality, then we're not, the reason why people do a lot of jaywalking is because it's something that's generally not ticketed, right?
Right.
If there was more ticketing, we would be like, oh, I'm not gonna like jaywalk, which is the entirety of Manhattan is based on jaywalking. But like, if they were to ticket that, then there would be less of it. Now, let's ticket this. You know what I mean? Let's see the consequences. So other people coming into the office of the president don't feel compelled to do this because they know there's going to be a punishment. They know they'll get impeached, but not just impeached, because you can get impeached for a different thing again, but that you get convicted, right? And again, we only have 2 weeks, so there's not enough time for all of this stuff to go down. Right. But I think the room full of nerds, the team of nerds in that back room, can still go through the paces of making all this happen so that motherfucker can't run in 2024.
Right.
And I really don't want to see us go through this fucking nightmare again in 2024.
Well, I think that's an interesting point to, you talk about deterrence, and one thing that this room full of nerds could do is, this is just a deterrent, because I could, in general, I think there's a norm, there's that stupid rule again, there's the norm that we don't go after previous presidents, because usually previous presidents just like to kind of disappear. They kind of take up finger painting and antiquing or whatever the heck it is, and you don't really see them
or fighting for election systems in other countries. special shout out to Jimmy Carter. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's what you're supposed to do as a president. You're supposed to kind of like ride off into the sunset. But I don't see Trump doing. I see Trump starting oantrump.com and doing that sort of thing, right? And I feel a deterrent to that, or a control to that, maybe these roomful of nerds who are like, hey man, we got these tickets from 1987 leading up to all the way to that time you tried to subvert democracy. So we've got all those in the bank. If you want to play ball, we can play ball. And that's maybe something that you can go back and forth on, I feel, because to be honest with you, he's ignored norms. I feel he could ignore laws. People seem to ignore laws constantly.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's ignoring laws for sure. I mean, his biggest mistake. And I think that's why this call is such a huge deal, because he made it. The other ways that he was trying steal this election, for the most part, was he put his boy into the postal service job.
Yeah.
He
had,
he took down all of the various ways that everything is supposed to work together. He weakened all of those.
Right.
And so then the grease wasn't on his hands. But on this one, he's literally under the car. Find me some votes.
Right.
So that is why it seems like this would be the easiest way to get him, because he made the phone call.
Right. He called customer service himself.
He tried to get over. So, like, I think that is what would make the difference. And it may be, I think it may be bad just for the country morale to continue to harp on him all the time when we're trying to get out of that. It also is something that he loves being talked about. That's why I think the room full of nerds should be doing this quietly. And then one day it's just like, bam, on his doorstep. And you're like, oh, they've been working on this the whole time while we've been trying to, get that out of our hair, wash that man right out of our hair, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think something should be done. I think it should be kind of quietly. And then, but I think it should also, they should be sure that it's effective.
C-SPAN. That's what it's all about.
And that's the kind of quiet thing, Shalewa, I think is a really fucking huge part of this, because this has to do with the media disciplining themselves. The media basically just had 5 years of a fucking cheat day, right?
Yeah,
where they just covered shit that didn't necessarily need. We didn't need to have breathless coverage of every little fucking heinous thing, even though he was breaking norms. Blah, blah, blah. The breathless coverage happened because it was clickbaity and you can get readers. And that was extremely detrimental to the fabric of American society. I had to turn off notifications on my phone because I couldn't handle news anymore, and I have a news-based podcast. I mean, folks, right? Like, and I think it's because, you know, and I turned to, like, checking out this is real, DVRing the PBS NewsHour, because they could quietly and calmly, like, I just wanted a quiet and calm recitation of news bullets. Like, that's all I wanted. And we have completely forgotten that. So, Shalewa, your point of it should be quiet has to do with how it's handled and it discreetly handled by that, team of nerds, but also the media should be like, that is not the front page today,
Right. Yeah.
And that, I think, is what's really important. We all need to get on board. We all need to get on board with this guy is irrelevant now.
It's no longer the news. The country is the news. We should be putting ourselves on the front page so that we know what's going on with us and taking care of things. But talking about that dude is not helping anyone.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Mike, final thoughts on?
Yes, I want the Werther's Originals of news. Okay, just warm and mellow and. It just feels good. And you have like two of them and you want to take a nap. That's the ABC News I want.
And here's the thing with Werther's Originals. You're not binging on Werther's.
No,
you have a morsel and you put the package to the side. And then the next day you might have one more morsel.
You know, and you say, thank you, Nana. And you give her a hug and she smells good and you go home.
I mean, that's what news should be like. That's what we all want, the Werther's Original of news. Folks, before we move into topic number three, I just want to remind you all to tell your friends about Fake the Nation. It's 2021. And we only did optimism in 2020 for the most part. And I don't want to say, and we don't know what's happening with anything, but it worked, maybe. Maybe it worked on a schmenit schmituation. So let's continue to only do optimism going into 2021 and rebuilding American society. Let your friends know about the show. We try and make it fun and talk about shit that matters and also shit that doesn't matter. We also do that. And fucking, we always try and talk about hard candies. So thank you, Mike, for bringing that into the show today. Let us move on to topic number three.
So we read a piece from Allison Green's advice column in The Cut called Ask a Boss. And the piece was, should I disclose my depression to my employer? And in it, the person writing says, quote, I take an antidepressant daily. I'm not seeing a therapist. I would call it more of a functional depression where I can live with it, but at times it can feel worse and I have to force myself to work. Does that make my depression something I should want to disclose to an employer? Mike, what were your initial reactions to this piece?
Man, you know, I mean, it's going to be tricky because my entire career is about disclosing things to people. I have an entire podcast called Asian Not Asian. You should check it out on all the streaming platforms about disclosing my depression and my anxiety. I'm a comedian. That's what we do.
Yes.
That's what we do. That's what we like. Now, I'll say silly advice. The silly advice is you know what? Just over disclose. Make your boss be like, hey, you know what? This is too much information for me. I'm going to go ahead and promote you out of my department. I think that may be the way to go if you're going to disclose, you know. But I mean, the serious advice for me, I don't know. I say advice. Don't take advice from me. Don't do it. But I think the serious advice is, you know.
Mike, I only have people on the show whose advice should never be taken. So you're in 100% company.
Yeah. You do not want to be where I am. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're. From a capitalist perspective, your boss is generally not your friend. He is your boss. He's your enemy. He is your enemy with which you are locked in an epic Game of Thrones style struggle for survival. Mm. Okay, so that's the kind of mentality I have when I talk about my. If my boss is listening to this, my day job. Hi, Kev. How are you doing?
Your world really a struggle.
This is how it is. Okay. This is capitalism. You know, don't blame me. Yeah. Blame whoever.
The patriarchy.
I don't think she should say anything. Say anything until you have to. And even then, try not to. Because, as Mike said, your boss is not your friend. HR is not your friend.
Not your friend.
If you just kind of say it, but it's something you're working on, and then you get it under control, your coworkers don't know that. Your boss doesn't necessarily know that you are. It's something no one cares if you're actively working on it. What they care is that you said you had it, and then people stop listening there,
right?
And now you just become, you know, the girl with the woohoo, and and that's not cool, because you know you don't get to continue to do your job without judgment.
Stigma. Yeah,
yeah, yes, without yes, yeah. Yes, so yes. It's not if you're still able to work. And plus, trust me, there are people doing their job worse than you are. So, like, if you're able to work and you're reaching goals, and it's not, I understand that everyone's reserve of patience now, especially, has been burned since we're almost a year into this. So your boss's patience may be burned. Your HR department's patience may be is a little depleted. Yeah, so you may not even get what you would be hoping to get by saying something. Mm. You know what I mean? There may be like a we all got problems situation. if you know the kind of HR people I've known, not everybody really cares. So that energy of worrying, if you can worry towards getting better, working on it, doing what you have to do. But I would avoid saying anything, because that's just going to put a giant MH on your shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
And I should point out that the boss in question, the writer, Allison Green, agrees with you. And she says specifically, quote, I'd only disclose a mental health condition or any health condition for that matter at work when you need to ask for a specific accommodation connected with it. So like, you know, do you need time for therapy sessions, or do you need, you know, whatever. But even then, it's funny because I also think accommodations that you may or may not need are a little bit like, this is the accommodation I need. I need an hour a week for something that's none of your fucking business. It's kind of like how I would go about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I need an accommodation and that's all, you know? But for the record, you can't be fired for this. You can't be, you know, there it can't be some a reason they don't hire you for something. However, mm-hmm. the law, and that's according to the Americans with Disabilities Act, but the law only applies to employers with 15 or more employees, and your conditions need to, quote, substantially limit one or more of your major life activities. So the law, you also have to double check if the law is protecting you here or not.
So you can't be depressed at a small mom and pop shop.
Yeah, you right. know.
Yeah. What, no, no, no.
You work absolutely. At a cute little, you know, gift shop somewhere.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
You got to be smiling.
I also want to point out, so it's interesting though in general, because I don't suffer from depression, but there is something that I suffer from migraines, and I don't, and I just want everyone to know, current and future employers alike, that I have them 100% under control, so it's actually not an issue. But in the first 2 years of me getting migraines, because I started getting them like 8 years ago, and I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Like my head mm-hmm. just would start exploding, and then I was just didn't, you know, and I performed like that. I've done shows mm-hmm. where I yep. did an entire hour on stage. Yeah. I've walked off stage and I vomited right for like 10 hours straight like that, because your body, and you guys know this as comedians, if you are extremely ill, your body, the adrenaline from performance will give you... Yep.
You can do anything.
Right? It'll give you probably up to an hour to just get out there, do what you got to do. And there's footage of me with obscene migraines and I'm performing and you can't tell. Done this show because in those first couple of years, I had to figure it out. It really, really sucked. You don't know what drugs to take. You don't know when to take it. You don't know what the signs are. You know what I mean? So it takes a long time to kind of figure that out. I was getting them in clusters, so then I'd go for like 3 months with no migraine, and then I would get a bunch of migraines. So it took a while. And what I think, and then when I had my baby, they reemerged in a new way. So then I had to refigure them out. So I've done this show where I'm like, I've got bandages on my neck of like lidocaine patches and heating pads. And like, I don't want to tell the panelists like, I've got a migraine because I don't want them to feel bad or whatever. But I'm also like, I look crazy, you know, and I might be like sweating and I might just have to lean over and do a, like a quick vom, you know? So I mentioned.
As a treat. Yeah.
So what's happened is, because I'm lit, the only time I ever canceled a show because of a migraine was because I was pregnant and it was early days and I was afraid of somehow putting myself under too much pressure with a migraine and something happening to the baby. So that was one time in 8 years. So I'm pretty proud of my record. But my point is, in those early days, I didn't say a word because I was afraid people were going to be like, this bitch gets migraines. We can't trust her. We don't know when it's going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And luckily, like I said, it's not an issue anymore. I have it under control 100%. So keep hiring me and then also keep giving me more things. But it was such an issue because I just, as a human being, I wanted to walk into a show or if I was in a writer's room or whatever and be like, I feel like garbage today, so I'm just going to be a little less smiley, you know? I mean, it'd be a little less fun to be around, but I'm still going to do the work. And I didn't feel like I could do that, you know, because I just thought, I just as a human wanted to have a little bit of just minor human understanding, but I was too scared. And it's a really terrible situation because I think what she may want is just a little human understanding of like, I'm at fucking work today. I'm going to give you my all, but I can't put a happy face on it. You know, I can do the quantitative analysis or whatever it is my job is. I can do it, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not, but it's not going to come with oh my God, how's the weather where you are, you know, and all that shit.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever feel like maybe it is something we should be, you know, I was kind of making a joke earlier about over-disclosing, but, you know, this is, if everybody was able to disclose all these things, if you were 8 years or 8 years ago or whatever, able to talk about migraines and that sort of stuff, maybe we wouldn't have a question like this where we have to kind of like play so close to the vest. That's sort of the system we're in, is that everybody's looking out for themselves.
Right.
And by, you know, fortunately, people are talking more about mental health and some employers are trying to be better about that, you know, in small fits and spurts. But, you know, I mean, maybe it is something if your coworker says, oh, I've got migraines, and then you might feel more empowered to say, well, you know what, I have to deal with something also. How much you want to disclose is up to you. But, you know, I think there can be something to this where we are a little bit more human to each other, which is very strange. You know, capitalism is anti-human. So, I how much can we get humanity back into it? You know, that it can be good.
To that end, you have to find your allies within your office.
Absolutely.
So you have to know, even if it's not an HR person or your boss, if there is a coworker that you can get a touch of humanity from, if you can say to them, hey, can you cover for me? I need to go in the closet and cry for a hot second. And then I'll be, give me like 30 minutes and then I'll be fine. That's all I have to do.
Just a quick bomb.
And if you are lucky enough to have that kind of ally at your job, you know, that kind of friend, then this may help with the issue at large, or maybe not even at large, this may help a little bit. But if your first thought is to, well, I should probably tell them at work that this is going on, it's like, hold on that for a second.
Right.
You know, cause we don't know how they're going to react. Especially something like that is so misunderstood. It's so misunderstood and it's not necessarily visible.
Yeah.
And
isn't it great when you can find that ally, you know, at work? When you're at a new job and you finally find that other person who's on the floor with you and who's like, you can be like, hey man, I had a crazy night last night. I got to go and take a nap in the conference room. And then that guy is going to be you are homies now. Okay, you're in it, all right? You're both accomplices. I think that's the best feeling.
What you do is you go into the restroom, you go into a stall, you stand so that your feet still look like they're facing out, like you're sitting on the toilet. But then you take toilet paper, you rest it on the back of the door, you rest your face on that toilet paper, and you take a quick, like, 5 to 7 minute nap while you're standing leaning on the door. This is what got me through rave culture in the mid 90s.
Rave culture. I have another question for you, because a friend of mine was, sorry, everybody. This is my husband, and he brought me a nice coffee because he's great. Okay. Oh, that was my baby. Sorry. Just a quick noise break. Okay. Here we go. So a friend of mine, was up for a promotion, and she was not visibly pregnant yet, but she'd been with this company for a long time. This is in the UK, actually, so I don't know what the fuck their laws are, but she just told them, I'm pregnant, just so you know, I'm up for this promotion, but like, you know, there's going to be a few months where I can't do the job that I'm being considered for. And they gave her the job anyways, and it worked out. I have another friend who's currently deeply pregnant, and she's doing a lot of interviews for jobs, and just doesn't know what to do ethically. And the interesting thing is I think legally she doesn't have to say shit. And the funny thing is, because all the interviews are on Zoom, they can't see that she's deeply pregnant. But also it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, pregnancy is such a weird, specific thing. Mike, as someone who can have babies, kidding. Shalewa, as someone who may be in that position, you know, who may have ever been in that position or whatever, or like, just, you know, what do you think is the ethical responsibility of a woman in that situation?
I mean, I feel like I would be the kind of person who would be like, hi, I'm Shalewa, I'm pregnant, and what's the position? You know what I mean?
And
like,
in how many ways are you going to reject me from this job?
Right. Like, I'm kind of big on just like, let me lay it out for you. I am pregnant. I do want this job, but I have a feeling not everybody is going to be as thrilled with the arrival of my kid as I will be. So, you know, I want to narrow it down. I want to talk to people who will be like, okay, we can work with that. If they, you know, had a history of dealing with that kind of thing before or whatever. But I mean, it's hard to say, because companies are so, I mean, they probably are like, wow, I don't, we have to talk to her. We can't not, because that's discriminate. But you know what I mean? And yeah. I don't want it to feel like a gotcha, but I also want you to know, yeah. like, I certainly don't want to, if I have to show up to an office, I don't want to show up like, that's great. I'm going to need like the next 3 months off.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I think my water just broke, so lunch is, I'm going to take a long lunch.
What would you think she should do? But also, what do you think an employer might be thinking? Like, how would you feel as an employer? I can't imagine that it wouldn't inform their choice.
Right. Yeah.
So I almost wouldn't want to know, because I just want to be able to choose based on who I think would be best for the job.
Right. I mean, I think thematically, you know, we've been kind of talking about just being more human, I feel. That might be your theme of 2021 is to be a goddamn human being.
Yeah.
And I do feel that there are employers who are going to try to do the right thing. I think processes and the way the system sort of works is it sort of punishes that. There's many times when honestly companies themselves get punished, you know, for whatever, you know, economically or what have you. So I think there are people who are trying to do the right thing. And as if I was an employer, you know, you're trying to bring on someone and you're trying to understand them, you know, on a human level. And I think that's important to establish. I know when I'm looking for a job, I want to know that I'm working with people who are going to try to do right by me, because I'm going to try to do right by them, even if we are entering into like a, you know, an economic relationship. It's kind of like dating. If you're getting down until like the third or fourth date and you're like, hey, this could be something, I want to be upfront, and you feel like the other person is going to be able to reciprocate, I think it might be worth bringing it up. But you know, I think it always I can only advise that, you know, for an employee, if you're looking, you know, to look out for yourself. And that's it.
My advice to her was not to say anything until she got a job offer.
Yes.
Because again, you don't want that to impact what they think of your merit. And the thing is, the human race has to continue. We all know how that happens, right? Mm-hmm. And so not like,
although,
you know,
isn't it wild that it's been that way for this long? Like, doesn't it seem like we should have switched it up in some way?
Oh, 100%.
You know what's kind of crazy too, though, is that we don't put that as the highest priority. Like, if you were to say, hey, I'm propagating the human race, you would think the other person would be like, oh my God, thank you for
helping
humanity. Right. We need to do everything we can to protect you. You are literally propagating the species so that we could continue forward. But instead, we're like, oh, yeah, well, you got a month. Okay, that's a policy. And that's just crazy. Sorry, Shirley, what you were saying. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I just think by now we should have figured out another way. I saw a pregnant woman on a train platform, and I was like, I cannot believe we are still carrying.
We're still here.
Carry people inside of us.
Are you serious?
Wild.
I would like to refer people back to an episode that was called Baby in a Bag, where we talked about the technology of a womb in a bag. So anyways, refer that.
Listen,
an episode
we got square. We got
Colton.
Square watermelon. We can have baby
in
a bag.
We can fucking do it.
Okay?
We can fucking do it.
Have you seen it? Okay, they have that.
Folks, that, what a fantastic way to start the new year. I feel like I haven't had a real conversation until today, in the last 2 weeks. So thank you for that. I feel so much better. And I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you in all of the wonderful things you do. Shalewa, how do they do that?
Oh, I'm on all of the social media at Silky Jumbo. All one word, traditional spelling. And if you are bored on Sunday nights on Instagram, I've been doing this thing called taste testing, where my roommate and I just eat snacks and give opinions on them, because they've really branched out on what they're doing with snacks now.
Yeah, they have, right? Yes.
Yeah, like we had an episode that was 14 flavors of Triscuits.
Oh, my God.
That seems unnecessary, but they had them, and so we did that. So, yeah, so, like, on any
more
social media...
More than a quorum of Triscuits exist. I can't believe
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and we still missed a few flavors. But, yeah, I'm everywhere at Silky Jumbo. Podcast is called The War Report. I co-host it with a fantastic fellow named Gastor Almonte, and then I eat
Love
snacks
Gastor.
On Sunday nights, so...
Mike Wynn, where do people find you?
Check out my podcast. It's called Asian, Not Asian. It's on all the different platforms. I do that with Fumi Abe, who's also been on the show before. And you can find me on Instagram. It's my Instagram handle is NicePantsBro. I do a very bad job at my branding. So all of my social media is all different things. And that's on me. I'm going to try to fix that. But everybody's laughing at me. I know.
Wait, and can you spell your last name for the people so that they, if they wanted to look you up, they know?
Okay, so you can find me. Okay, this is very difficult because I have a very common name. Okay, my name is Michael Nguyen. But if you, you got to do this. I spell my name Mike, like microphone, M-I-C. Nguyen, but that only cuts down the Michael Nguyen's by like maybe a third. So it's also, you got to look at Mike Nguyen comedy.
Oh.
And then I'm probably the first guy.
And there then may spell Nguyen for them because that's a, you know, I don't think it's an intuitive spelling.
It's not, but it's 2021. And if you eat pho and you can't spell Nguyen at this point, that's on you. But it's N-G-U-Y-E-N. So that's N-G-U-Y-E-N. That's my last name.
You guys, definitely figure out how to follow him. He's given you a homework assignment on how to do that. It's not, he doesn't want followers. He wants people who want to go on hunts.
Yeah.
Folks, the fun thing is, so Mike is on TikTok and I have now joined TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed to say, but also here I am. I'm on TikTok. So follow me on TikTok, folks. I don't know. There's probably like three people who listen to this show that also are on TikTok or maybe a lot of you. I don't know. I really don't understand. Okay. But follow me on TikTok. I'm there. I also have a new piece in the Progressive magazine. I'm a columnist there. And this piece predicts the future. And so it's a fun one. I'm predicting like June of 2021. So get into it at Progressive. Look it up, Progressive magazine. What I would really like to do is thank all the people that make this show possible. That is our wonderful producer Anita Flores, our talented audio engineer Andy Christens, Gabi Alter wrote our theme music, Lily Fleshler helps with research, and listeners, you know that we love hearing from you. Send us your feedback, topics we should be chatting about, guest ideas you might have. You can leave us a voicemail at 331-901-0005 or drop us a line at comments@fakethenation.com. And if you like what you hear, please favorite Fake the Nation on Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, and the SiriusXM app, and do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it helps more people find out about the show. Oh my God, folks, it's so nice to be back, and we'll be back in your earballs next week.